Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from PUC examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back, live with more Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
But I feel like in some ways this was a little similar to that Toronto game in the sense that your offense was pretty efficient, and then that fourth quarter they just kind of ran away. You guys.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's what I talked about, before the game. We have to get in better shape, and I don't fault the guys, because some of these guys were in roles where they maybe weren't playing a lot, and they're getting a chance and an opportunity to play more now. And I do think the pace is different for them. I thought for the most part we sustained it pretty well for three quarters. I think we made some positive strides coming out of the Toronto game, considering we just had that shoot around and we had a couple guys just show up over at the arena to go play, and yesterday we had practice and another shoot around. So I feel like we've made some strides. It's just going to be, a matter of time of us getting more accustomed to playing this way.
It's Billy Donovan with a great question asked by Casey Johnson just about the state of the Chicago Bulls. And, as I mentioned, they got a lot of new players. And if you're a Bulls fan and you've been complaining about the Bulls and their state of flux that they've been in for quite some time, you should welcome this change. And I know that your innate thought is to go ahead and be like, but they didn't get any first round picks, Gabe. Why am I trying to make myself plural? They didn't get any first round picks, Gabe. Damn. But they needed to hit the reset button and they had to do something. So what did Billy Donovan, first of all, taking your phone calls, 312-644-6767. Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you on 104.3 The Score. And want to talk Bulls, but you also get, I got some good text messages about the Chicago Bears and the gap between the Seahawks, the Super Bowl champion Seahawks, and the Chicago Bears. We could talk about that as well. Again, phone lines are open. Get to that in just a second. But here's Billy Donovan talking about, just the new players on the team.
Well, I think, Yabusele, I think, gives us some floor spacing and a really good basketball IQ and a feel. I thought he did a really good job. A guy that hasn't really played a whole lot, so I think the pace and speed for him. But I thought he played well in Toronto, and he played well, tonight as well. Nick, I think, gives us some length and size. Vooch was a different kind of player. Vooch kind of played in that short pocket area, and he was so efficient, in those shots, whereas Nick's more of a roller. I thought we had him on a couple lobs. He missed one he got, or two he got. So I think the size and the rim protection helps with him. We talked about Dillingham. Sexton, I've always admired just his competitiveness, his motor, his energy. I thought he brought that tonight, just really competitive. I think Jaden, I thought in the first half, was terrific in terms of loose balls and hustle plays and some offensive rebounds, and didn't necessarily shoot the ball a lot, but I thought he impacted the game in a lot of different ways. Anfernee, I think when you've been a scorer like him, he kind of picks his spots, but probably like to see him be a little bit more aggressive. When I thought he passed up a couple that he probably needs to let go, but he's got such a good pace and rhythm and tempo to himself, and you always feel like when he shoots, it's got a chance to go in. I don't know if I missed anybody after that.
Just let him know.
He got in there short briefly, but I think he's a big, strong kid that hopefully we can help develop.
Billy Donovan talking about, obviously, the additions of the players and what they can provide for this team. Gershon Yabusele, definitely one of those guys, adding something different. You mentioned Richards, the other big that they got from Phoenix, and just like what it could mean. I mean, Richards was a guy who you could tell he was exhausted. This man ain't played since, I think it was December or something like that. So, again, trying to get his feet underneath him, it's a task. But we get to talk to you about it as well. 312-644-6767. Phone lines are open. Let's go to Beverly out in La Porte. Beverly,
what's... Hello. Yes, thank you for taking my call.
Of course.
I was telling the producer that when I came home from my Super Bowl gathering that we had, I turn the radio on right away that was on the score, because I am a sports fan, and I keep my radio on. I'm going to have to go on to FM, but I'm still on the But anyway, I was glad to hear your voice.
Well, thank you.
You were just coming on, because it was not that network that they went to now. I do not like that man at night at all. So I was very glad to hear your voice. I heard you with the Bulls doing the, you said you were doing the pregame.
Yeah.
The other night.
On Saturday.
And then you were going to be doing the postgame. Then all of a sudden you started helping with the game call. And you did very well, very well. I thought you did like you had done it many times before. You were very professional. I wanted you to know that.
Well, that's very sweet
but
of
I
you.
Wanted you to, but I wanted you to know that I'm 82 years old. Like I said, I'm a sports fan. My number one sport is the Cubs baseball.
Ooh, Cubbies are looking good.
Yes, and I started listening to the score when they started with the Cubs doing the play-by-play for the Cubs.
Look at that.
And I liked Grody doing, he at that time was doing the pre-game and post-game for the Cubs.
For the Cubs, yeah.
Yes.
Grody has a World Series ring.
Yes, that's right. And when they won, like I said, I'm 82, so I've been a Cubs fan a long time. And when they won the World Series, I did cry.
Oh, as you should have. It was an emotional moment for most during that time.
Right.
Who's your favorite, Beverly, who's your favorite Cub player of all time?
Oh, well, I have to say Ernie Banks. I'm way back.
Yeah.
Ernie Banks. And Rizzo, I loved Rizzo too. Currently, there's so many of them; it's hard to say.
No, that's a good good duo right there. Rizzo and Ernie Banks. Sounds great.
Yeah, and when I turned 80, my family, we had my birthday party. We went up to Wrigley Field to watch the Cubs in August of. Two and a half years ago now, and there were 14 of us that went up there to watch the Cubs in my honor, for my birthday. Wasn't that nice?
Did they win?
They did.
Oh, see?
A couple home runs, and Assad pitched, started pitching, and that was before his injury, and it was right before they traded all the players. Remember the four players that they... Oh, I was...
The second rebuild started,
But that's how it goes. I know that. Another thing I wanted to tell you.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to keep up.
No, this is your show. No, this is your show.
But I've always been a Green Bay Packer fan.
Oh, Beverly, you lost me. You were... besties. You and I were besties up until a second ago.
Yeah. Now, don't give up on that. Because I listened to the score all the time.
All right.
I knew more about the Bears players than any of the Green Bay, except for, the quarterback.
Yeah.
The previous quarterback who I could not stand. So.
All right, Beverly, here's how you can get in my good graces. Tell me something good about Caleb Williams.
Oh, wonderful. He's going to be the best that we've had for a long, long, long time. He is. But let me tell you, but since I've been listening to the score, hearing all about the Bears players, I have become a Chicago Bears fan.
I can hear it in your voice. When you said we got a good one, I'm pretty sure you're a Bears fan.
Yes, I am. I won't tell my grandson about that because he is a diehard Green Bay Packer fan.
Yeah. Maybe Beverly, maybe just start with like a t-shirt. You know, you don't got to get him a jersey. Just a t-shirt.
I always said that I'm for Green Bay and the Bears unless they're playing together. And then I had to be a Packer fan. But this year, when the Bears played Green Bay, I was a Bears fan. I won't tell him that.
Oh, don't worry. I won't either, Beverly.
I was rooting for the Bears then, but I love it.
Will be recorded.
Are you still there?
I'm still here. I got one last question before I let you go, okay?
Okay.
Beverly?
I was wondering about the names that you want to...
That's what I was going to ask you about, Beverly. Beverly, that's exactly what I was going to ask you about. I wanted your opinion, because I have some names here, but we're trying to call our overnight crew. So the first name that we have here, hold on, let me...
Something about the score.
Okay, so the first one is the Scorekeepers.
Oh, I like that.
You know, thinking about overnight, you're a scorekeeper. It's kind of like a gatekeeper, but you're the Scorekeepers, like as you would at a baseball game, Scorekeepers. I have the Midnight Mob, you know, because it's already the mob that exists.
I don't like that.
Midnight Mob.
I don't like that.
Me neither. It's too aggressive. We have the Graveyard Gang.
No, I don't like that.
Yeah, this is too much violence associated with that. And this is, I'm leaning towards this one, the Night Owls.
I like that.
Who? Who?
But
who?
Yes, I like it.
Oh, okay.
But you said somebody said something about the Night Crew. I like that too.
The Night Crew. Okay.
Yeah, because we are a crew.
We are a crew.
Listening at night, even though I'm 82, I'm still up.
Yeah,
listening to you.
you're the goods right now. You're adding the energy to the. But I like it. I like where you're going. Night Owls, maybe the Night Crew. We're workshopping it right now,
those
Beverly.
Those two. Okay. Thank you.
Well, before I let you go,
my call,
of course.
And I love talking to you.
Oh, my gosh.
And Mark Brody is one of my favorites, and he has come to LaPorte, Indiana. LaPorte is between Gary and South Bend.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Mark Brody's a man of the people, Beverly. So no surprise
and
he's
been out here, and he's been to LaPorte, and I told him the next time, I think I scared him off, the next time he comes to LaPorte, there's three of his friends that come with him.
Yeah.
They come and spend the weekend or something.
Yeah, he did tell me about this.
The next time he came, I wanted to show him the different restaurants and things in LaPorte. So, but I think I scared him off because he didn't know I was 82.
I love it.
At that time I was 80. But anyway, thank you so much.
Of course, Beverly.
And you said you're going to be here at the I used to listen to Les,
yes. Oh my gosh.
I mourn when he passed away. Oh. And Mark took his place for a while.
Yeah.
Mark Brody.
Yeah, did a great job.
But he couldn't, he couldn't do that long and do that in football too. I know that. But he's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
So.
Anyway. Thanks, Beverly, for the call. I appreciate you. Have a good one. Oh, you're so sweet. You're right. Grody did. I remember that vividly when Les passed. You know, Grody and I were chatting, and they was like, hey, dude, somebody's got to, take on this role. And, Grody did it because for several reasons, right? One, he loves the score. He loved Les Grobstein, loves Mitch Rosen. And he knew that it was the ultimate homage to pay to Les to take over the shift for some time. And not only talk about the good stories, but, give you guys. I wonder what Les called his overnight crew. I got to ask Grody that.
See Eagles.
Is that what they call them?
No. I mean, the whole thing about how he pronounces Eagles.
Right.
I'm going to find it for you.
Yeah. So I'm going to ask Grody what they called them because I want to do some due diligence there and understand that. You know, Grobber, my one memory with Grobber, not one, but, when he would do overnights, I was doing the morning show at B96. So there would be a crossover, right? Obviously, B96 and the score, they're right next to each other, right? They're down the hall. So I'd like walk into our Universal door because both B96 and 104.3, the score, share like an entryway. So we I'd be coming in and Les would be going out. And Les knew that I was a Bulls fan. So when I would be coming in, he would have been fresh off talking about the Bulls for 5 hours. And I'd be coming in hot about Derrick Rose and the Bulls. And we would have our little 5 to 10 minute conversation about that. And I always enjoyed it because I always thought to myself, like, damn, this guy doesn't have to stop and talk to me for 5 minutes about the Bulls. But he loved sports that much. Even after a 5 hour shift, he knew the morning guy at B96 wanted to talk about some Bulls basketball, and he was always with it. So we would always
E-A-G-A-L-E-S.
Yes. Maybe they were called the Eagles.
But Eagles. Yes,
so Les and I would have, you know, conversations literally every single day. And I think I even started to understand over time, like when you heard his connection with callers, even the passion in which he spoke, right? I think that's one thing that I lack a lot of is decisiveness in opinions. A lot of times, because I am a nice person, I'll try to see both sides of a story. And Les was very much concrete.
His way or the highway.
This is what I think. This is what it is. I don't care what your opinion is. And I need more of that in my life where I'm more definitive because it gets the people going. You know, because then you could just think I'm an idiot. Or you can agree with me and think I'm a genius. The Night Owls, huh? I think we're leaning. We're leaning right now. We're definitely leaning towards the Night Owls. I think
Who?
Like if somebody calls in and could play into that, that'd be great. It's Gabe Ramirez here on 104.3 to Score. Hanging out with you till 5 o'clock live and local. We're going to be sprinkling these in throughout the month, okay? Sprinkling them in. Majority of them are going to happen Sunday into Monday and then Thursday into Friday. But it really is, and I want to be very clear, it's not going to be like the Bears overnights where, you know, we're angry, we're mad about the Bears losing, what they lack. Like, that was that show. I think now it's more like what's happening in Chicago, you know? A little pop culture, little sports. But I got to be honest, Grant, the no phone call thing throws me. You know what I mean? Like, I need my people. I need to be talking to. I do not like talking to myself.
You need interaction.
I need interaction.
I could pop in a couple times, yeah. But it's not the same.
I'm producing the show in my head, future shows, and so because I'm a firm believer that you have to throw things at the wall and then fix it instead of trying to make it perfect and then throwing it at the wall because it's going to be crap anyway. I can already tell I am going to can a couple interviews. Like, if I know I got my next show Thursday into Friday, like, I'm going to get somebody to talk Bears with me and then somebody to talk Bulls with me, and then I'm going to play those overnight. Twice, maybe. Maybe twice. You know, but like low, like 2 o'clock hour, we've done these shows.
Yeah.
12 to 1, I'm fire. Because people are still going to sleep.
Sure.
1 to 2, you might get a couple drunkies.
Or the guys on the train, you know.
Or the bros.
Yep. Right?
The bros. Or Beverly coming home from the Super Bowl party. Shout out Beverly. But 2 to 3, 2 to like 3:30 is the dead zone. Because regular humans are sleeping. You know what I'm saying? The majority of them.
Regular, yes.
Regular humans are sleeping. And then, like, because it's like the third shift or the late crew is going to bed, and then the early crew is, like, just starting to wake up. So, like, 3:30 is, like, the overachievers that are, like, going to the gym and, like, maybe the construction guys and, like, the plumbers and the union dudes, the bros.
Or radio guys.
Yeah, you're right. Dustin. Shout out Dustin. The one guy.
Waking up at 3 a.m.
I'd say Dustin wakes up. Let's see. He goes on at 5, but he gets here like at 4, right?
There's been days where he's rolled in around 3:30, 3:45, but normally it's around 4 o'clock.
And I know he doesn't live close.
So, no, I don't think he lives close here, at least.
Yeah, he doesn't live close.
So, I think at the school, he lives closer to that.
Right. So you think I'm more so trying to factor in his commute. So if he's here, let's call it 3:45. He's leaving at 3:15, let's just say.
But he's waking up at like 2:30.
Right. He's got, that's what I'm trying to, so he's like right now, he's probably listening to us talk about him thinking, why are they talking about me at 2:20 in the morning?
He's like, just stop talking about me.
Because you're one of the people that's up. One of the few that's up at that time. But the good thing is, if you are up, this is your space. You are a night owl. Who?
Who?
You. You are a night owl. And the phone lines are open for you, man. 312-644-6767. Seattle Seahawks are your Super Bowl champions after defeating the New England Patriots 29-13 on a day that will simply be remembered for the Bad Bunny performance. Shout out to Beverly, who enjoyed it. There's a text message that came in. Gabe, this is Cindy from Southwest Michigan. If the show title is The Night Owls, the perfect theme song would be The Who's song, Who Are You?
I was thinking that, yeah.
Do we have that in the can somewhere?
Let me take a look.
Just take a look. See, I'm not familiar with The Who, so I'm sure I probably heard of their popular songs, but I don't know them. Anyway, she says, The Who song, Who Are You? I love the show. Thanks for putting the Bad Bunny halftime show into context. It helped me appreciate with more depth. Yes. Yes, there are other moments in that halftime performance that were incredible. You got it right there? Play it. Oh, this song. Oh, my God. Of course I know this song. Now we know how we're going to... We need to work that into some intro for the callers, you know?
Maybe. Yeah, I like it. Anytime the, you know, there's a who been dropped.
Whenever they drop it, yes, we have that ready for you.
Who are you?
That's great. I love this. I don't know why this corniness is really feeling good to me. It's like, you want to know why? Because there has to be some obscurity about an overnight show. And again, when you're talking about the Bears, it's easy. You just Bears and then phone calls and Bears and phone calls. This feels more like a show. You know, I'm getting show vibes from this. And so there has to be a little bit of quirkiness. Like you can't, like the one thing that I know from having a show is that you want people to listen, and when they don't, you want them to feel like they missed out on something. So you have to have that obscurity. You have to have that quirkiness so that way people could be like, damn, what the hell did they lose last night? I probably missed. And you missed the titling of the overnight crew, the Night Owls. Who? Oh, I thought you had it ready.
Oh, the song?
I thought you had it. That was close. We were almost there.
Try again.
Right. Who? Let the whole thing play. You're the Night Owls, damn it. You guys represent for the people that stay up late. See? Somebody from the 217 just checked. The corniness feels so right. It does. At attendance, if I was filling in for Raheem Harrison Grody, you can't do that. Get bad ratings. It'd be bad. If I was filling in for Spiegel or Holmes and we were doing this, it'd be weird. The night show maybe might be all right. Overnight, for sure. Plug it in. I want the foolery. I want it all. Quiero todo eso. You never know. I might even be speaking Spanish. Bad Bunny might have inspired me. All right, I'll give you my, because we're still talking sports, but I'm going to give you my hilarious, because that's what overnight radio is for as well, stories. And here's one about how my Spanish isn't as good as I thought it was, or isn't as good as I think it is, I should say. Now, and it's not even a good statement because I don't even think my Spanish is great, but either way, it's neither here nor there. So as I mentioned, I work for CHSN, Chicago Sports Network. I do a show called The Chicago Lead, but they have another show on the station called Journey to the Shy. Now, Journey to the Shy is a show where they highlight White Sox, Blackhawks, Bulls players in their journey to these respective teams. So the 30-minute episode is not about their time on these teams. It's the journey to the Shy. Well, they came up to me and they were like, hey, we want to do an interview. We want to do a Journey to the Shy with Luis Robert Jr., but we want to do it in all Spanish. And they said, are you interested in doing this? And I just told you this earlier in the show, with this job, you always say yes and figure it out later. So I thought to myself, this is another moment. Even though they're asking me to speak Spanish, claro que sí. I said, absolutely, I'll do it. So then I'm like prepping and, you know, obviously they gave me some questions. I had to translate them. And then I'm like going through it and thinking all my stuff. And I'm like, damn, am I going to get embarrassed? Like, is this going to be the fall of Gabe Ramirez where I built this brand and then all of a sudden I do this show in Spanish and people are like, what the hell is this guy doing? His Spanish is broke. And then I was like, damn. And I was like, please, baby Jesus, if you love me and you don't think I should be doing this, can you trade Luis Robert Jr.?
That is so cruel.
I swear, this is an open, honest space with my night owls. And I said that, I prayed for it. I said, God, please trade Luis Robert Jr. if you don't think I should do this. Because that was the caveat. If you think this is not going to be a good look, trade Luis Robert Jr. so that way I don't get embarrassed. Sure enough, by the grace of God.
By the grace of God.
Luis Robert Jr. gets traded. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, damn, okay, cool. At least I'm not going to get embarrassed. God obviously thought this was going to be embarrassing for me. It's a great thing. But as you'll learn, again, you're going to learn more intimately about me. I wholeheartedly believe God is the funniest person in the world. The funniest.
Yeah, probably.
He has the greatest sense of humor because he will put you in predicaments like this, where he will go ahead and trade Luis Robert Jr. And then in the same breath, he will he will have them email you and say, hey, Luis Robert Jr. got traded. You're going to interview Miguel Vargas instead now. How funny is that?
That's pretty funny.
Of course it is. Just like God, because that's the sense of humor that God would have. So I'm like, damn, now I got to do this interview for real. So I pull into Guarantee Rate. And, you know, I got my prep, got my stuff. I'm ready to roll. And to be very clear, my Spanish is solid, right? El español mío está perfectamente bien. Yo puedo hablar con la gente. Yo puedo comunicar lo que sea. I can talk to them. I can communicate. It doesn't matter. It's good. It's just not, I was born in Chicago, right? Like, come on. Like, how great do you want my Spanish to be when I speak English every day, right? So I get in the room. Chuck Garfine is there, and because he's interviewing Chase Meidroff, he's interviewing Davis Martin, he's interviewing Shane Smith, and then it's my turn. And so I already got my spiel in my head. I was supposed to go first. They push it to the end. Thank God. I'm doing it with Chris, who's the producer on the thing, excellent producer. And I'm thinking to myself, this is great because nobody speaks Spanish in here except for me and Miguel Vargas. So if I mess up, no one's going to know. This is great. And then all of a sudden, Billy, who's the handler for Chicago White Sox for all the Spanish players, walks in. And I'm like, damn it. The real Latino is here. The native Venezuelan is here. He's going to know exactly. He's going to know I'm Scooby-Doo. I got to take off the mask. It's not real. But I humble myself in the very beginning and I say, mira, voy a decir la verdad. I'm going to tell you the truth. Esto va a ser el primer entrevista en español. And this is going to be my first interview in Spanish. And he's like, oh, don't worry about it. You're going to be fine. And he's like, how long you been with CH? I said, oh, I've been doing this, whatever, la, la, la. So then Miguel Vargas comes in. And then I tell him immediately. I mean, mira, voy a decir algo. Esto va a ser la primera entrevista que yo hizo en español. This is going to be the first interview I've ever done in Spanish. He's like, oh, don't worry. You're going to kill it. Baja romperlo. No te preocupes. You're going to kill it. We're going to break it. Romper means to break, but you're going to break it. But that means kill it. You know what I'm saying? You can kill it. And I said, if I ask you a question in Spanish and it's wrong, keep going. I said, if I conjugate a verb incorrectly, do not correct me. Just go and I will edit it at the very end. And I said, he's like, okay, cool. So we're doing the whole thing. Flowing. And I'm like, damn, this is great. Flowing. I'm making jokes. He's laughing. I feel like I'm saying everything right. And all of a sudden, I ask my last question. And then I look up to the producer and I'm like, that was it. That was all the questions. And he's like, well, we're still 4 minutes short. So basically, I ran through the questions too fast.
Yep, too fast.
Yeah. And now comes the hard part because all the questions I had, I took my time to translate them. I asked my mom if they were right, you know what I'm saying? And now, because there's 4 minutes left, the producer is randomly throwing out these questions that I have to now translate in real time, which, like I said, my Spanish is good, but I'm not a native speaker. So he's throwing out these like bigger words that I would normally never use, right? Baseball terminology. And I'm like, damn. But I end up making it work. I end up doing my best to translate. Miguel ends up saying I did a great job, but of course that's what he's supposed to say. So here's where we're at right now. Night Owls. Who?
Who?
Me. I did not. So I told Chris, the producer, I was like, do not let this hit the airwaves. Please do not let this hit the airwaves unless I look at it first. Because I need to go through it with a fine-tooth comb. And if I said some stuff wrong, I need to edit the questions back in where they're said correctly. Now, here's the issue. I might think my Spanish is good. But when this episode comes out, all the real, you know what I'm saying? Like,
well, when's this episode coming out?
shortly, soon. It's gonna, the season's starting pretty soon in the next month.
All right, I'm going to keep my eye on it.
Trust me, I'm going to promote it if it looks decent. But my biggest fear is that real Latinos, real ones that are born in these countries are going to be watching this and being like, why did they get this guy? You know what I'm saying? Why did they got this guy? They couldn't find a real Spanish speaker, which will break my heart if that ends up happening. But I think it was good to try it and to do it.
So I have a question for you.
Please.
Because I know with like Murakami and in the Cup side with like Seiya and Shota, they ask the question in English and then their translator automatically goes to translating it.
Right.
So can that do they do the same with the Spanish speaking players? Because
and so
they just go right into it and then they answer the question.
Yeah, a lot of times because the Spanish players can understand the English, they just can't communicate in English properly. So that's what, but I asked the question. I was like, hey, you know, Miguel Vargas speaks English. Like, he can, if you look at his interviews, he's got plenty of interviews where he speaks English.
Yeah, and there's tons of players in the league that do the same thing.
Of course.
They speak pretty dang good English.
Pretty solid English. And so then I asked the question, I was like, do you want this to be a Spanglish interview where like I asked the question in Spanish, but then I kind of reiterate it in English so that way the listener is not just reading the bottom third the whole entire time. And they were adamant. They're like, no, we want you to do it in Spanish because we want him to feel comfortable speaking in his, you know, in his native language, which I get. You're obviously able to use different words from the vocabulary when you're able to speak in your native tongue. But I would have liked the Spanglish thing because I know it probably made me feel a little bit better. But either way, all that to say, never say no, always say yes. Take the opportunity and then edit it later and delete it. All right, speaking of opportunities, you have yours right now to jump on the radio. 312-644-6767. On the other side, we're going to talk about the brand new offensive coordinator for the Chicago Bears. But I'm curious if you're cool with the promotion. Of course, Press Taylor bumps up from passing game coordinator to offensive coordinator. Do you feel like that? Like, did you want someone with a little bit more experience or did you not care? 312-644-6767. We'll discuss the new offensive coordinator for the Chicago Bears. We'll do some stadium talk. But more importantly, you get the opportunity to share your opinions and your thoughts. If you're awake right now, this is for you. All right, live and local right here. The phone number is 312-644-6767. It's Gabe Ramirez, live and local right here on 104.3 The Score.
Went to school with Horace.
You know, recommendations can be great. Maybe someone recommended this podcast, and here you are. But home projects are different. If a podcast isn't your thing, you lose a few minutes. If you hire your cousin's neighbor to mount your TV, you might end up with a lopsided screen and wall damage. Maybe I know a guy just isn't enough for your home. That's why Thumbtack works. It matches you with top-rated local pros with photos, reviews, and credentials all in one place. For your next home project, try Thumbtack. Hire the right pro today.
Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one. So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast.
Reality Gaze, let's love.
We're back live with more Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
Well, I mean, that must be hard for me to even say just because I'm not there in those meetings once we leave the building. But, you know, you can tell with things in terms of
getting the scout team correct, getting all those cards ready, dialed up, ready to go, whether it's scripting the practice, I'm sure Declan had a huge say as to what plays we're going to have up and what looks we were going to get throughout the week of practice. And then, you know, on Fridays and Saturdays, when we'd go over our film from Fridays on Saturday morning, you know, Declan's the guy going over that tape with the whole skill group and then kind of leading us in the walkthrough on Saturday before our main mini walkthrough as before we get to the hotel. So, yeah, Declan was very hands-on with all of us, and that is a big role. And I know I understand and I somewhat understand what people on the outside and they say, oh, if you're not calling plays, like really, what are you doing? These guys do a lot of stuff in terms of prepping for the game plan and getting us ready to go for practice throughout the week that that really shows up big time up on Sunday. And then, I mean, another thing Declan was great at is, you know, I'm sure Ben, as the head coach, there's a lot of things you got to handle in halftime. Declan's the one addressing the offense at halftime, kind of going over the openers that are going to be coming up in the second half and telling us what we need to do, what they're seeing, and how we can make adjustments. So, yeah, Declan was definitely a very valuable piece to us offensively.
Sounds like Declan Doyle was a messenger. It's Gabe Ramirez right here on 104.3 The Score, live and local all the way with you till 5 a.m. That's when I'm handing it over to Dustin William Rhodes. And then, of course, Mullion Hall right after that. They got a great show lined up for you. Stacey Dales will appear at some point, so make sure you're listening out for that. Olin Krutz will jump on at 9. They got a great show. Again, you want to make sure you're checking that out all day today on 6. What's a good way to...
6 what? 6, 7?
Well, I was trying to think of like a way that you could clean that, you know? On the successful show... There on 104.3.
Successful
show. 104.3 The Score. That's how you clean it up each and every time. That was Cole Kmet talking about Declan Doyle, who obviously moved on and is now the offensive coordinator at the Baltimore Ravens, which seems wild to me. Like the fact that you... David Hall called it cronyism. Actually, what he said was, it is not cronyism, right? Or some bootleg form of nepotism where you... are given these opportunities when you, I just feel like, again, this is no knock on Declan Doyle, right? I don't know the guy, don't care. It's nothing to do with Declan Doyle, the person, the individual. It has everything to do with the pipeline to becoming an offensive coordinator in the NFL and how paths are different. But in this particular path, it feels icky. And I'm not even a coordinator. I'm not even a coach. But I could imagine if I was somebody that had been in the league for 10 years and I've been, you know, quality control, I've been the quarterback's coach, I've been the passing game coordinator, kind of like Press Taylor. And then all of a sudden, this guy who was the tight ends coach becomes the, air quote, offensive coordinator for the Chicago Bears. And like Cole Kmet just said, it's not like he's calling the plays, right? But he's... making you, he's talking to you before the mini walkthrough. Think about that. He's not even doing the mini walkthrough. He's talking to you before the mini walkthrough. He relays the message to the offense at halftime of what it's going to look like, which is clearly the message from Ben Johnson. So you know what this role is as a coordinator that's been in the league for years. And then all of a sudden, the Ravens job comes up. The Ravens job. I know I've done it before. I'm sure you have too, where you might be on, I don't know, LinkedIn or Indeed, and you see a job that you're really not qualified for, but you apply anyway, right? Knowing that there's people with much more experience. And that's what Declan Doyle did for the Ravens job. He applied for the Ravens job, and like there was a pool of people that were significantly more qualified than he was.
I think just because of where the Ravens were, because they got the new hire in Jesse Minter, he wanted somebody young because he's going to be calling the defense, so he needs somebody. And he saw what happened in Chicago this year, and he saw that this is the new offense that everybody wants, you know, the Miami Dolphins Wildcat, you know, everybody wants to copycat that. And I think he just wanted a young offensive mind. He got really young in Declan Doyle, but I just think he's giving them an opportunity and just letting him take the reins here.
Yeah, I think Jesse Minter, I brought this up as well when I was chatting with David Hall in the Chicago lead, and I said the real reason why he did it was because he he didn't want another alpha in the building, right? If Jesse Minter goes and gets Matt Nagy, well, now you have someone with NFL experience. So if for whatever reason you can't fit the bill, then they have Matt Nagy there to replace you. Now, if you get Declan Doyle, it's just a terrible decision. Like, you should, if I'm the owner of the Ravens, I am now questioning if Jesse Minter was the right call because of his decision to hire Declan Doyle as the offensive coordinator. And we haven't even gotten into the actual players themselves that are on that team. Could you imagine, like, DeAndre Hopkins? Like, just think, like, think about Derrick Henry walking into that room and Declan Doyle. I don't know. It's going to be tough. You know, I asked Clay Harbor, one of my good friends, 9-year NFL vet. When Ben Johnson got hired with the Bears, I was like, Clay, this guy's never been a head coach before. Why will people listen to him? So you've played in the NFL. What's the difference? And Clay basically said, Gabe, he's proven himself in the NFL already. So if you're on the offensive side of the ball, you're going to follow him because he's already established himself and has proven that his way of thinking works in the NFL. Declan Doyle doesn't have that luxury.
He hasn't proved himself, but he's been under some of the best offensive minds in the past 20 years of the NFL.
And I understand that, but it goes back to, you know, all the complaints about Ben Johnson and not calling the timeouts at the right time, you know, or people operating in the first. Like, you're going to have to deal with bumps and bruises inevitably. So for Declan Doyle, listen, if he would have got the offensive coordinator position for, like, Miami, I would have been cool with that. I wouldn't feel so passionately about it.
What if he got the offense coordinator job in L.A. for the Chargers?
Still wouldn't feel as passionately about it.
Okay, New York, either with the Jets or the Giants.
I would not feel as passionately about it. The reason why I feel this way is because you are talking about a top, let's put them in thirds. They are in the top third of the league, which means you have a shot at winning a Super Bowl, right? The expectations for the Baltimore Ravens is Super Bowl or bust. You have MVP Lamar Jackson. You got Derrick Henry, one of the best running backs in the last 10 years. And so the expectations are for you to win a Super Bowl. You were complaining, and I have a lot of friends that are Baltimore Ravens fans. They've been complaining about the offense for years in Todd Monken. And now, so it's that part of it that bothers me. Again, nothing against Declan Doyle. It is the pipeline to becoming an offensive coordinator, and what that looks like throws me off. But here we are again. Chicago Bears, Press Taylor. It just goes to show you how valuable that role is to a guy like Ben Johnson, where he feels like he can take the tight ends coach from the Broncos, that he can take his passing game coordinator, the guy who's organized. You go pass up J.C. Barrett, the actual quarterback's coach, and you go passing game coordinator because you're like, I know what this role is. I need J.C. Barrett to coach Caleb Williams. I need Press Taylor to manage this offense that I'm putting together. And that's the biggest difference right there. I'm curious your thoughts, though, if you're listening. When you're thinking about the offensive coordinator role for the Chicago Bears, like, do you care that it's Press Taylor? Did you want somebody else? Because if you're thinking about Kurt Warner, popular, obviously, guy comes on the show, fan of the score or friend of the score, he talked a little bit about, you know, what it would mean to this Bears team losing Declan Doyle.
I do believe a lot of it depends on who that main voice was for him. So you're right. I didn't really deal with that much except, the very end of my career where Todd Haley went to be the coach of Kansas City when Coach Wisenhunt was here. And Todd was the main voice for me. You know, we game planned together. We talked to each other. You know, my wife would often refer to him as my mistress. In those years, because we spent so much time talking and together. And, you know, if I was on my phone, you know, in the evening, she knew exactly who I was talking to and who I was calling in those moments. And so he was the primary voice at that point, for us offensively, where Ken Wisenhunt had a voice without a helped out and had some input in what we did. But Todd was kind of that main voice. So when he left, you're right, it was a big shakeup. Is how do we do things, and what's the next voice, and does the next voice see the game and understand it like I do, you know, and like Todd Haley understood me. And that was a transition. And so that would be my big question, is I don't really know in this situation, you know, which coach it was. You know, I guess in my mind, I kind of feel like it was Ben, but I don't know if that's the answer to that question. So if it was Ben, I think it's much easier to replace and have the next guy steps in and goes, okay, you know, what do you each need from me to make this work? If that primary voice was Doyle, you know, is it one of those things where it's like, okay, now we got to transition again. And does this guy understand me? Does he understand what I'm seeing and how I play and what I need on a weekly basis? Or do we have to go through that process again and try to get comfortable in you know, in that type of situation and how that triangle kind of works? So that's how I, you know, would state it. And I don't know the answer to that based on how it played out in the building.
Kurt Warner right there talking about just Declan Doyle, the impact an offensive mind can have on the staff, and essentially what Ben Johnson is going to be looking for. And I love what he said there, because I think we can take that and put it on a personal level. And by that, I mean, sometimes when you're managing or if you're putting together a team, you're looking for specific traits, and maybe they're traits that you don't necessarily have. Like if you're a passive individual who's more of an overseer, you might need the authoritarian guy to, you know, push through the agenda. Whereas Ben Johnson is looking for someone that is exactly like him. You know, like sometimes maybe the guy that you might not like because they're too similar to you. Ben Johnson's looking for somebody like that, though, for this role, that has the same vision, that is equally as passionate about it, believes in it, and then can implement it on the team. And I think that's the biggest takeaway that you can hear from Kurt Warner. He's not sure who is that, who was that person per se on the team, if it was Declan or if it was Ben, in those types of instances of pushing the offense along. But again, I think he's saying that Ben Johnson wants to duplicate that in finding someone that is intelligent, but again, mirrors the ideologies of Ben Johnson. It's Gabe Ramirez here on 104.3 The Score. Let's go out to the phone lines. We got Riles. What's up, brother? What are your thoughts on, like, this, just the offensive coordinator role for the Bears as a whole?
I'm not qualified to say anything. I just disagree with you saying nothing against Declan Doyle when all you're doing is coming out and crapping all over the guy. Maybe he's not going to be good, but I would give him a chance, and I would definitely give Ben Johnson a chance at hiring a different offensive coordinator for us.
Riles, do you remember? Let me take you back into a moment in Bears history, okay? Because I know you remember this well. There was a guy who...
John Shoup.
Nope. Who wasn't calling plays for his team, right? Because the head coach was, and he was managing the offense for them. And they had a really good offense. So much so to the point where the Bears thought, we should make him the head coach of this team. His name was Matt Nagy. And we saw how that worked out. A guy that wasn't actually the man given an opportunity. He was given it at the highest level of being a head coach. So again, I hear what you're saying, that it sounds like I'm coming down on Declan Doyle, but I want you to remember the part of my spiel where I said it's more about the pipeline to the position, right? So I am complaining wholeheartedly about the pipeline where, like, you know, and it's could go for any job, right? Where I was like, what do you do for a living?
I'm a retired podiatrist.
Okay, so you're a podiatrist. And if some young gun came in, you've been in the game for 10 years, you wanted to have the, you know, director position, some young gun comes in who, you know, is just very studious and had A's on everything, and your director thought that he should be the guy to take over because he's smart, and you'd be like, what the hell? What kind of pipeline to the top is this? At the best clinic, the Baltimore Ravens clinic, with one of the top doctors in Lamar Jackson, you're going to give this guy the role? That's what you would be saying, Riles, and that's what I'm trying to say. Nothing against the young doctor who's brilliant, little Doogie Howser. Nothing against him. You're brilliant. But it's the fact fact that you get this clean pipeline to the Baltimore Ravens clinic, and where they got Dr. Derrick Henry there. Like, you're going to be in the best position ever, and I don't know if you've earned that. I don't know if, you know, again, not Declan Doyle, but the pipeline there.
Yeah, okay. I see what you're saying there, Gabe, and I respect it. But I wouldn't say that there's no way he can do it. Ben Johnson, he did a fantastic job, and he was ready. He was ready for the Bears this year. And we would have done a better job in the Super Bowl, not in Seattle, but we would have been a heck of a lot better than New England if we were in there. I have no doubt about that. But it's not going to be as easy for the Bears next year. Because we'll get a tougher schedule because of how well we did.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe Ben might have a tougher time changing the offensive coordinator. But he basically is the offensive coordinator and the head coach for us.
True.
I was just so happy for the Bears this year. But
yeah, it felt good. It felt good to see him win, right? And I think what, you know, a lot of people, Riles, are saying that too, right? They're bringing up the first place schedule for the Chicago Bears. But I want to remind everyone, next year you will not see the same Bears. They will be better themselves, right? Having been in the offense for the second year, having continuity, having, you know, friendly faces, understanding tendencies of players, and by that I mean by Caleb Williams and such. So I think sure. The Bears are going to be better. And so, you know, where maybe you might have, like, where other teams were ready to see the Bears in the playoffs, right? Like a team like the Packers, the Rams, they would rather have seen the Bears than anybody else. That might not be the case next year. Where next year the Bears are better, and then those other teams that have first-place schedules that have to face the Bears, maybe they might not be shivering in their boots, but they'll have a tougher task than they would have this year.
Yeah, certainly true. I would like to pick your brain on what you think of DJ Moore. Because I really liked him as a player.
Love him.
His effort was good, and maybe it was his fault that last play, which ruined it for us against the Rams. However, I want him back. He might have to restructure, but he was a big, big part of the Bears' success this year. What do you think about DJ?
Thanks for the call, Riles. I think DJ's one of my favorite players on the Bears. I think the one thing that I go to immediately is, you know, people talk about Roma Dunze. Roma Dunze missed more games this year alone than DJ has for the Bears his entire time that he's played for the Chicago Bears. Think about that. 4 years, Roma Dunze's missed more games this year alone than DJ's done in the 4 years that he's been with the Bears. So, I mean, consistency, I love it. I think he's a leader. I think he allows the offense to open up because you have to pay attention to DJ Moore. I don't know if he's going to restructure his deal. If I was him, I'm like, yo, you paid me. I've earned this over the course of my career. This was my get paid deal, so I have to, you know, eat this. And, you know, I think you got to look at other things like Tremaine Edmonds getting cut or Cole Kmet getting cut so you can save money in other areas so that that's not the case. All right, we're going to take a quick break. I think we're going to continue the conversation. And I have brought that up quite a bit about players that the Bears should be cutting, and people do not like that I'm bringing up Cole Kmet as someone that should be a cap casualty. We are going to continue to talk about that. I'll break that down a little bit more on the other side. But the phone lines are open for you, an opportunity to call in and talk about either the Super Bowl, again, Seattle defeating the New England Patriots 29-13. What did you see as the gap between Seattle and the Chicago Bears? And then we'll look at some individuals that might not be on the team next year, but we'll take your calls as well. All right, 312-644-6767. It's Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you overnights right here on 104.3 The Score.
I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. It's about interesting family stories and the truth behind them. It's available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.